Our Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10, from verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Well, we're looking at Luke 10. We're not in our normal series in Matthew. And this story here is one of the classics, one that we all know really well. And because of that, we can quite easily feel beyond it. Yet, this is a passage I think we really need to hear. Those passages that we think we are beyond and that we know so well are most often the ones that we need to hear the most. And we really need to hear this one. I know I do. Because I don't see many at times practice this passage well. The pressures of life and society pull us away from doing what God wants us to do from this passage. And so we all really need to see what is here in this passage and grow from it. So let's pray now for God's help that we would see that we actually need to hear this, even though it may be so familiar and seem so simple to us. Well, would you be able to sum your life down to one thing that you see as necessary? One thing in your life that you see as necessary. Well, Jesus does. He says only one thing is needed in our passage. It seems like a bit of an oversimplistic idea from Jesus when we consider our complex lives. We've got work, church, chores, families to worry about, things that we enjoy doing, ministries to serve in, people to care for. How can Jesus be so simplistic and say only one thing is needed or necessary? Surely not. But in our passage today, he does. He rebukes Martha for being distracted with many things and missing what matters, and he commends Mary for doing the one thing that is necessary and better, he says, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. And this needs to be the focus of our lives. I want this to be the focus of this year for us, but our entire lives as well. Sitting at Jesus' feet. It needs to be something we focus on and grow in, and I long for it for all of you. But if we are to do this and make this the focus of our lives, I think we first need to straight up acknowledge that we tend to be like Martha, not like Mary. We tend to be like Martha. And I'm really preaching this sermon to myself as I preach it. I chose this passage this week because I know how much I needed it. That the Martha mentality that we see in this passage is often in me, and I think in most of us. And the rush of society and the structure of society and how things work today only further fuel this tendency in us as well. So we are inclined to being like Martha. And I want you to first up acknowledge that we can have this tendency. And as we go through now, just briefly the story, before we answer some questions about this story, I want you to see how you can tend to be like Martha as well. So let's have a look at the story before we come back and answer some questions to dig deeper into this story. Look at verse 38. Verse 38 says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him." So Martha opens her home to Jesus. She's seeking to serve Jesus through hospitality. And Jesus comes to Martha's house and she's busy serving. She's getting things ready because she has Jesus as her guest. And that's a pretty incredible thing. And she possibly has more guests as well at this time. And so there's much to do, much to get worried about, and much to be troubled by. And so as she's serving, because of this, she's irritated. Things start to irritate and upset her. Because look at verse 39. She sees verse 39 happen. "She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said." Martha's busy doing everything. And Mary, her sister, is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him, doing nothing in Martha's eyes. And Martha sees this, and the typical sibling tension arises, and she's not happy with her sister. And she goes and tells Jesus to go and tell Mary to get up and help her. Get up, help me out. Look at verse 40. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, to Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But Jesus responds in verse 41 and 42, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, when we hear the story there about Martha and what happens, maybe you want to defend her. Maybe you think, Jesus, we can't all be like Mary. Things need to get done. Things don't just happen on their own. We can't just sit the whole time, all our life. But Jesus wants to show us here that something is more necessary than serving, than getting things done, than being busy, than all of the to-dos on the to-do list. Something is more necessary than all of that. And we need to see this. So many of us need to slow down. We need to, in fact, stop. Just stop in our lives and sit with Jesus and spend time with him. We need to stop rushing and be still to hear him through his word. I think entire churches need to do this. Church leaders need to do this. Families need to do this. We need to do this in our ministries more. Because often churches, ministries, families, leaders can be so busy and caught up just doing lots of things, but never do those things being empowered by sitting at Jesus' feet. And they can so easily neglect that. Are we doing this as a church? Are we sitting as a church as a whole at Jesus' feet? Or are we just doing lots of things as a church without soaking ourselves in God's word and prayer before we rush to those things? Are you doing that in your own life? Are you just rushing to everything? Do you keep giving in to the voices that tell you as soon as you sit down to read and pray, that tell you to get up, go, you've got to do something today, you've got to get this done. Do you just give in to those voices straight away and you don't really sit down? You sit down for a minute and then you back up. Do we do this in our lives? The busy Christian needs to beware because only one thing is necessary. And sometimes the busyness of life can take and distract from that. And we need to not just be content doing lots of things. And these things could be good. Good things that we're doing. Serving God. Work. We need to not be content with just doing good things. But we need to make sure we're doing the one necessary thing. So we see we need to not be like Martha. The story makes it pretty clear. But to help you do that, to help you not be like Martha, I want you to see her problem. What was wrong with what Martha was doing? I see four things here. There are four things that Martha is doing wrong and that cause her to neglect what mattered most. So let's see them so that we aren't the same. Okay? Four things that Martha is doing wrong. Firstly, Martha was distracted. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. The idea behind the word here is that she was drawn away with many things that she had to do, drawn away. So it seems that she was either desiring to sit at Jesus' feet or was sitting at his feet at one time. But the thoughts of what needed to be done made her stand up and go away. Her worry caused her to get up and do things. And she's probably even going a bit overboard because Jesus is her guest. She wants to do something maybe special, but it means she neglects what matters, listening to God's word through Jesus. Picture it like this. It would be like you having people over and you put on the best feast for them. You put on the best feast for them, but it chews up all your time when they're there, preparing everything, getting it all ready, laying it out, cleaning up after it. And yet these people actually came because they had some deep struggles that they wanted to talk to you about and share with you. But because you were so busy, the night missed doing what mattered most. It's sort of like that. And here distractions stopped Martha from sitting at Jesus' feet and doing what mattered most. And the distractions in our life can do the same. And so we need to be weary of distractions that rob us from time with Jesus. Now, I don't know what they are for you, but you know them. You know the things that in your life distract you from time with Jesus. You need to spot them and be aware of them. Maybe some of you right now are distracted from having time with Jesus as we sit under this passage because you're thinking about the day. You're thinking about something you want to go and do. We need to be wary of these distractions. And we really need to pray because they are so hard to remove them, I find. We really need to pray that God would remove them, that he would strip away the unnecessary things in life that distract us from time with him. So here we've seen, firstly, what is wrong with what Martha is doing? She was distracted. There were distractions and she was giving into them. Secondly, Martha was motivated by anxiety. In verse 41, Jesus diagnoses part of Martha's problem. He says in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." So it seems that worry is driving Martha's busyness. But I think there's possibly something deeper as well. At the core often of anxious busyness is pride. Pride is at the core of anxious busyness. We are often anxious to do much in our lives because we care so much about what people think of us and because we are so proud. But busyness that is motivated here by this kind of worry that's in Martha or motivated by pride is wrong. And it's only going to cause us, as it did for Martha, to neglect what is necessary. It'll be enslaving and it will steal our time from being with Jesus. And that's the second problem there with Martha. Martha was motivated by her anxiety. Thirdly, what was wrong with Martha? Martha was upset and frustrated. Again in verse 41, we just read it, Jesus diagnoses another part to her problem. He says she's upset. Her distracted, unhealthy desires and expectations of what should have been done in that moment overwhelmed her. And they've caused her, it seems, to breed frustration and anger towards those who don't have the same mentality as her, towards her sister Mary. That's why in verse 41, she says, she comes saying, "Lord, don't you care? My sister's left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to do something. Tell her to help me." Now, in the original language, in the Greek here, it's clear that Martha asked this question with a negative particle. Now, all that means is it's showing that she expects a positive reply from Jesus. She expects him to rebuke Mary and tell Mary to get up and help her because she thinks she's right. But Mary's mind and her emotions and her worry and her being upset has clouded her, and she's missed what mattered, and she's in fact wrong and in the wrong. And so that's when Jesus then gently comes and rebukes her, and he says, "Martha, Martha." And there's probably emotion caught up and compassion caught up in those words, but he may even have to say her name twice because she's so frantic rushing around, she's not even going to stop to listen to Jesus here, and he has to say her name twice, "Martha, Martha," like I have to sometimes say to my kids. When you need to catch their attention, you need to say their name twice. And he has to do this because clearly Martha's emotions were driving her. She's so frantic because she was upset and frustrated. That was the next problem in what she was doing. And then finally, the fourth thing here we see, what is wrong with Martha and her mentality was she fell into the trap of doing many things. That's the final problem we see here about Martha. She fell into the trap of doing many things. In verse 40 it says, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, or other translations say by much serving. And then in verse 41 it says, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." So clearly the issue with Martha is she's fallen into the downward spiral of busyness and doing many things which don't really matter. Doing many things that didn't really matter in that moment. Clearly the issue is she has filled her life with so many things but neglected the necessary thing and missed what's important, as we've said. So in summary, what is Martha's problem? Let's just sum it up. She has let anxiety, frustration, and maybe other emotions like pride drive her to be distracted by doing many things and neglect doing that one necessary thing of sitting under God's word. That's her problem. And so out of love, Jesus gives a tender rebuke to her. And he gives this rebuke to us too, if we're doing the same thing. He gives this rebuke to us too, who I think so often slip into being like Martha's. But also to help snap us out of this Martha mentality that we slip into, Jesus contrasts Martha's busyness with Mary's focus on one thing. We see Martha focusing on many things, Mary focused on one thing. We don't just see Martha in this passage, do we? We can learn much from Mary. And this can help snap us out of that mentality of where we are often distracted like Martha with many things. So having considered what's wrong with Martha, now let's turn to Mary and look at what Mary did, and in particular, look at what it means to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. For me, I've seen here, as I was preparing, at least five things that sitting at Jesus' feet entails. So what does it mean to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him? Here are five things. Firstly, it is to learn from Jesus. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him. The key there is that she is learning from Jesus. She's listening to the word of God through Jesus. She's taken the initiative to go and sit there, put herself under his teaching. And for us, if we want to do what really matters in life, the one necessary thing, then we need to take initiative to learn from Jesus. We need to learn from God's word. We need to spend rich time in God's word. We need to dwell so much in God's word that it oozes out from our lives and our mouths, because we are learning and growing so much about God. That's the first thing here. To sit at Jesus and listen to him as Mary does is to learn from Jesus and to learn about God and how to live for him. Secondly, what does it mean to sit at Jesus' feet? Well, it is to be a disciple of Jesus. Back then, back 2,000 years then, when people sat at someone's feet, it was disciples who would do this. They would sit at the feet of their rabbi. And it also wasn't the cultural norm for a woman to sit at the feet of a rabbi and be a disciple. So Mary goes against the cultural norm because she sees this as so necessary and so important. But we also need to realize a disciple who would follow their teacher or rabbi, they wouldn't just sit at their rabbi's feet. They would get up and follow him wherever he went. And that's part of what it is to sit at Jesus' feet, to be a disciple. It's to be a disciple, not just to sit there, but get up and follow him and follow him where he goes and seek to obey their master. That's what it is to sit at Jesus' feet. We are to be a disciple who seeks to obey and submit to him. Thirdly, what is it to sit at Jesus' feet? It is to worship Jesus. I think you can see here in Mary, as she's sitting at his feet, it's because she is in awe of Jesus. The pressing chores, all the things that could be done in the house, they don't captivate her. They don't grab her attention. Jesus has captivated her attention. She can't get enough of him. That's why she's sitting there, isn't she? She wants him. She's been captivated by him. And she can't be gripped by anything else because she is gripped with Jesus. And in doing this, she's in fact showing his worth, isn't she? She's showing his worth. And by doing that, she's bringing worship to him. So as we sit at Jesus' feet, part of what it means is in fact to worship him, to show his worth, and that he is worthy to be listened to and followed. Fourthly, what is it to sit at Jesus' feet? It is to be dependent on him. This is key. This is such a key element to what it is to be sitting at his feet. Mary is listening to Jesus' every word. She's hanging on his every word. And it's because she trusts him as the one who has the words of eternal life, as John 6:68 says. She knows he has the words of eternal life. She wants to listen. And in this, her dependence is clearly shown. She depends on his every word. She entrusts herself to his wisdom and to what he says, because she knows her life depends on him and what he says. And we are showing, when we sit at Jesus' feet and when we learn from his word, we're showing dependence on God, aren't we? It's key to sitting at Jesus' feet. It's how we depend on him alongside prayer as well. That's how we depend on him. So that is so key to sitting at his feet. Dependence. Trust. Finally, though, a fifth point. What is it? What does it mean to sit at Jesus' feet? Well, it is to be in relationship with Jesus. As Mary is there sitting under him, she's connecting with him. She's in an intimate relationship with him. She desired to be close to him and draw closer to him. She wanted to know him more. And she wanted to be near him. And as we sit at Jesus' feet, we are seeking to grow in an intimate relationship with him. It is a key part of sitting at his feet. So this is what we've seen here now. Five things of what sitting at Jesus' feet involves for us and looks like for us. It is to learn from him, to learn from Jesus, to learn about God. It is to be a disciple. It is to trust him. It shows dependence on him as we sit at his feet. It is to worship him, to show his worth. And it is to be in an intimate relationship with him. Because he has the words of eternal life. He has the way to be saved. Now, for us today, we aren't like Mary, are we? We aren't sitting in a room with Jesus teaching us in person. So what does it look like for us today to sit at Jesus' feet? How do we do it? Well, it means becoming people of God's word and prayer. And now I know that sounds like the cliche application that you probably feel like you've heard too much and that you might quickly zone out and ignore when you hear it. But I think we really need to. We really need to hear it because these are the essential things in the Christian life that God has given us to grow, and yet they are the very things that I don't think happen very much in the Christian life. I'm shocked at how sometimes in conversations people show that they spend very little, if any, time with Jesus, even apparent mature Christians. And so I think we all need this basic challenge, and we need it again and again in our lives, because the pressures of life and the pleasures of life, they quickly pull us away from time in God's word, from seeking him in prayer. Think about it for yourself. When was the last time for you that you sat at Jesus' feet for maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours? We sit at the feet of a TV for that long. When was the last time you sat at Jesus' feet in his word, seeking him in prayer? How often do you sit at his feet reading and praying God's word? If this is the one thing that Jesus says is necessary, why do we as Christians so often neglect it? Why do we treat it like an optional extra in our lives, something that we don't really need to do? It's okay, we're saved. That's an optional extra. I don't have to do that. But Jesus says this is the one thing that is necessary. We need to stop neglecting what really matters. We need to stop giving in to that voice that first thing in the morning, when we wake up, straight away says, get up, start going, do this, do that. And we need to stop and sit at Jesus' feet. Devote ourselves to the one thing that Jesus says is necessary and better. So how will you do this? Practically, how will you do this? You need to figure that out in your own life. But I want to give a few examples of how you could. Just some possibilities. I think first, you need a plan. And you need to resolve. Maybe you haven't this year. Planned and resolved to read God's word. Have you done that this year? It's nearly a month. Have you already gone through the first month of the year without really any plan or desire or resolve to read God's word? If you have, change that today. Plan and resolve to sit under God's word and to seek him in prayer. If you're stuck for an idea of how to do it, you could do the discipleship journal plan. You'll find it online if you type that in, or ask me and I'll show you. Or maybe you could listen to the Bible each morning over brekkie. That's what we like to do with the kids. We downloaded the dramatized version. So kids, maybe you could ask. Kids, are you listening? Maybe you could ask mum and dad to download the dramatized Bible and you could listen to a chapter in the morning. There's lots of extra little sounds and all the different voices for the different people to keep them engaged. Or maybe for the young people, maybe you want to listen to God's word with your headphones on the way to school or uni. And maybe you could even use a devotional app. One that I love is Solid Joys, a short devotional. Don't just read the devotional, listen to God's word. That's the priority. But that devotional might help as well. It was called Solid Joys. Or maybe for the mums. It's hard for the mums to sit at the feet of Jesus. Maybe you could just set aside a short, regular time, a regular place as well, where you like to spend time with God, and you tell your kids about it, and you go there each time, just for a short time, for a regular time. And the kids will learn so much from you just doing that, mums. Just by sitting there doing that, they will learn so much. Even if you only get 1 or 2 minutes of quiet, undistracted time. Even if you only get to read one verse and maybe pray a little bit about it and pray some of the challenges in your life. The kids will even be learning so much as you show that you want to sit at Jesus' feet. Or maybe for the mums and those who are busy, maybe you could put up a verse where you do your chores. And put up a new one every few days that you can read and meditate on as you're doing those chores. That's one way, but there's many other ways you could as well. Or the dads. Maybe the dads, if it's hard at home, the kids are around. Maybe you could leave for work half an hour early, an hour early. Pull over to a quiet park. Get out your Bible. Get out a journal. Write down those prayers that come as you read God's word and spend time with Him just before you head to work. Or you could do it after work. But men as well, I want to challenge us all as men. We in particular need to lead in this. We need to lead our families. We need to lead others around us to sit at Jesus' feet. Husbands, God has given you the responsibility to lead your wives in this. Dads, He's given you the responsibility to lead your kids in this. Help them do it somehow on their own, but also do it together, having time together in God's word. We're responsible for this, to lead the souls of those under our care well. And we need to lead well in this way. There's some ideas, but there could be many others. The key is you yourself need to think through and work through. How can I be planned and disciplined in how I sit at Jesus' feet? And you need to do that. You need to plan. Because life doesn't just let us fit this in as a key priority. It won't. We need to plan. It won't just let it slide into our life. Kent Hughes says this. He says, we need to choose very deliberately. Life does not arrange itself into proper priorities. Amidst 1,000 other duties, we must make sitting at Jesus' feet the one thing, the better thing, the primary focus of our hearts and lives. It's not going to happen if you don't plan and pray for God's help for it to happen. Now, one more question as we come close to an end. You may be thinking, we can't just sit at Jesus' feet. There's things we need to do in life. So how does sitting at Jesus' feet relate to all that you need to do in life? How do they relate? Well, sitting at the feet of Jesus empowers us, doesn't it, to get up onto our feet and to go and serve Him. Sitting at Jesus' feet is what empowers us to act. Jesus says it earlier in Luke 8:21. He says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. They hear God's word and then they put it into practice. So we have to act and serve, but we do it by first sitting at Jesus' feet. We are not to act without Jesus and being empowered by Him. We need to first be transformed by His words to tackle the tasks that we have for the day. Martha's problem, it wasn't her serving. That wasn't her problem. Her problem was being distracted and anxious with many things, which caused her to completely neglect what mattered most and what would empower her to do those many things. That was her problem. So yes, we need to do lots of things. We need to do lots of things in life, but don't let your tendency to do take away from your desperate need to sit at Jesus' feet. Don't let your tendency just to do things, which I think so many of us have, take away from your desperate need to first sit and learn and depend on Christ. Now, I want to give us a picture to help lock this in, to help you try and fill your life with God's word and see some of the ways that we can fall short in this area. I want to give you a picture. Picture God. In your mind, picture God providing a feast, a spiritual feast. It's an all-you-can-eat banquet. and he has invited you to come. It has all you need, spiritually, salvation, joy, peace, hope. And as you enjoy this feast, you can have all you need, eternal joy. And we can enjoy this feast as we spend time with God in his word. So there's this feast here that God lays before us. And yet, when we come to this feast, you instead decide to rush in. Quickly rush in, grab a quick bite and get back out of there. You rush in, you do a 1 minute devotion, say a prayer, and then you think that's enough to sustain you for the rest of the day. That's enough of a meal. Or you wait at the doors of the feast for the leftovers that you might get from people who have gone into the feast. You pick up the crumbs from the banquet of those who have heard God's word, and you only hear God's word from them. And you hear the crumbs. And you're content with the leftovers and the scraps. And never feed for yourself on that feast in God's word. Or maybe you go and tell others about this wonderful feast in God's word. The wonder of Jesus and how you can know him. You go and tell others about it, but you never go to the feast for yourself. Maybe you're like that. How wrong. Or maybe you care nothing for the feast because you have settled instead for a foul off meal that the world offers. And sin keeps you from God's word because you are so engrossed by your idols. What do you do with the feast that is in God's word and that is in Jesus, our Savior? What do you do with that feast? As the world tells you to be frantic and busy, do you then neglect the feast? Or do you remember what is necessary and better and ignore the world and what it says? We need to feed ourselves on Christ. Feed yourself on the bread of life. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. Feed on him who has the words of eternal life, he says, and who can bring true joy. So let's not neglect what is necessary and better whilst we still have to do the other 100 things we have to do every day. Let us not neglect what is necessary and better. If you want to be fruitful for Jesus in your life, you need to sit at his feet. Think about it. In the past, great missionaries, great Christian teachers of the past, what is one thing they all had in common? Well, they had a great Savior. They knew they were saved by grace alone. They knew they were saved through what Christ has done, and they put their faith in him. But also, they had something else in common. They devoted time, often in the mornings, for a few hours often, in prayer and God's word. And they did great things for God because their life was empowered by God's word. It needs to be the same for us. They knew they could do nothing without God's word. Without seeking him in prayer, they could do nothing. They were nothing without that. May we know the same. And may we use our time in a way that really, really shows that we see sitting at Jesus' feet as necessary. So I hope and pray that from this simple passage and the simple reminder that it gives, that you are convicted to spend more time with Jesus. We need this. You need this. Those around you, this is what they most need from you. You'll be so much better for them if you sit at Jesus' feet. And this is what can bring great glory to Christ. We can worship our Savior and show the worth that is in Jesus as we come every day dependent on him, hanging off his every word. Let's show that we really do trust Jesus, our Savior, as we hang off his every word.